Next presentation is supporting Florida community health workers through policy, training, collaboration, into action. And I have to say, when I first saw the next speaker's name, I didn't ring a bell until I read her bio, and then I realized that she wrote a book that had inspired me in my studies and also in my work with women with AIDS. Our speaker is Marian Bonsoff. She began her career as a community health worker, working with the Feminist Women's Health Centers. She worked in HIV/AIDS with ACT UP New York, leading the Women's Caucus, and producing the book Women, AIDS, and Activism. She was the first executive director of the New Jersey Women and AIDS Network. She is currently the Policy, Environment, and Systems Change Program Director in the Division of Community Health Promotion at the Florida Department of Public Health.
Thank you, Joanne. It's always wonderful when somebody says, "Oh, wow, you did that in 1990, and I still have it on my shelf." So that's really great. I want to acknowledge my partners in this presentation. Brenda Lee Rodriguez was going to co-present with me, but her plane had to be changed, and so she had to leave a little early. And additionally, Sean Dickerson and Susan Fleming worked on this abstract. I have nothing to disclose. And I'm very happy to be working with the Florida Community Health Worker Coalition. It expands my experience in working with grassroots groups and in community organizing and in health education. This is our logo that we developed in around July 2011 that was adopted after looking at a number of templates. And I find it interesting that so many CHW logos have hearts in them, as well as caring, connection, and community. The mission of the Florida CHW Coalition is a statewide partnership dedicated to the support and promotion of the CHW profession in Florida, and it was established in 2011. So we have come a really long way in a very short period of time. The idea for the coalition came out of the Comprehensive Cancer Control Unit in the Department of Health in Florida, and it was a natural fit because of the role that community health workers have had in increasing access to care and in fighting chronic diseases, which we all know are precursors or can be to cancer. Additionally, the National Cancer Institute had just funded the Patient Navigation Research Project, which was supporting the use of community health workers, and there was a large body of evidence that already existed to show that community health workers were so valuable in increasing access to care. And then the opportunity arose from the CDC when they put out an RFA for policy, systems, and environmental change grants. And the Department of Health applied for one and was one of 13 states, territories, and tribes to get them. It also had cross-interest because a number of the programs within the Bureau of Chronic Disease were already using community health workers to fight arthritis and asthma and diabetes and heart disease. And so our process was to begin to form a task force through monthly conference calls using the CHWs that were already in place through various funded DOH programs, as well as other champions. And we identified the key issues that we wanted to address. We adopted the standard definition of CHWs put forward by APHA. We did a small survey of CHWs that were already active throughout the state. We identified training and curriculum as a really important area that needed a lot more work. And we wanted to raise awareness about who CHWs were and what they do, and increase the membership of the coalition, and begin to work on reimbursement issues for CMS. Then, so through 2010, up to June 11, 2011, the coalition called itself a task force, and when it came together in a face-to-face meeting of about 50 to 60 people, about 30 of whom were CHWs, it decided to become an actual coalition. And then we had our second CHW face-to-face meeting in June 2012, and the last one was just in September 2013, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. In the first face-to-face meeting, we drew on the expertise that is within this section. We brought folks from Texas and Minnesota and Massachusetts, and I think those were the three. And we learned from all of you all's work. I think Michigan might have been there, too. And the approach was to start to provide a mentoring system, both of CHWs and of other stakeholders and statewide groups who were using all of you around the country. The Department of Health saw itself as an active convener of this group and as a facilitator, and the group divided itself into five working groups. These are familiar themes, right? Policy, practice, curriculum, research, networking and sustainability, and a steering committee. Practice and curriculum combined to become practiculum. And these groups all meet monthly, and additionally, the full coalition has a monthly meeting, and it is usually by webinar, so we can share documents a little more easily than just by simple conference call. Our participation in, I don't have the slides to document our participation in this presentation, but we generally have about 30 to 40 people in the monthly meeting, and about 5 to 10, realistically, on the subgroups, and then the subgroups report back out, but the membership has grown to 275 people. So some of our accomplishments are that the coalition was actually formed and a charter was signed. We developed a brochure, which I have uploaded as a handout in the online materials for this presentation. And we developed a website and the logo. And we just added a Facebook page. We finally found a CHW who was willing to take over administering the Facebook page. So everybody go to Florida CHW Coalition and like us. The curriculum and practice subgroup, the practiculum group, decided that it really wanted to go more into depth about what other states had done in curriculum, and so we conducted a national review of CHW curriculums and identified core competency areas. We are starting work on certification, I'll talk about that in a minute, and we developed a recruitment flyer for the coalition. Through the national review, we identified these core competencies, which are pretty consistent, and we got buy-in from Florida CHWs that these are the core competencies that we also want to put forward in Florida. And so I'm not going to read them because you all know them. And we also looked at scopes of practice, which are also going to be familiar to you in terms of identifying the bridging of cultural differences and making sure that CHWs are trusted members of communities that they do outreach within and represent, assuring that people get the services they need and providing health information and support, and advocating and building individual and community capacity. So these are what we have defined as what we have consensus around in Florida. We did a survey of coalition members. About 75 CHWs participated, and everyone strongly agreed that these were the core competencies and the scopes of practice. The policy group has a lot of accomplishments. This is a picture of a Women's Health Leadership Institute that was conducted just this past June in Miami. We had had an earlier Women's Health Leadership Institute. This is a curriculum that was developed by the Office of Women's Health, and it is we adapted it not just for women and not just for people who work in women's health, but for community health workers. And we are lucky in Florida to have Migrant Health Promotion, which has just changed its name to MHP. And Colleen Reinert has been a member of the Florida CHW Coalition since its inception, and she was able to provide this training, and she's also joining us in the back. For the first Women's Health Leadership Institute, it's an institute that builds leadership skills from CHWs who already have some experience, and it works on establishing critical thinking skills and popular education. It's the Frary model. And we had 20 slots, and we had 80 applicants. So it was very difficult to narrow that down. And then that group decided that the next Women's Health Leadership Institute needed to be conducted in Spanish. And so the one that was in June was conducted entirely in Spanish. We got the curriculum book, the manual, translated into Spanish, and it's going back to the Office of Women's Health. So if you want it, get it from them. And thank Florida and the CDC. We also developed a policy brief and talking points, and most exciting, we also made a 10-minute DVD, which, because we don't have internet access, I can't show you, but it's on our website, and I encourage you to look at it. We're proud of it. And we enlisted champions, a couple of whom were representatives and senators from our state legislature. And in 2012, they filed a bill that would have established a community health worker task force that was legislatively authorized, that would have 12 members, one appointed by the Senate, one appointed by the Speaker of the House, six community health workers appointed by the State Surgeon General, who acts as the Secretary of Health in Florida, and three members appointed by the co-chairs of the Florida CHW Coalition. So that means that we have 9 out of 12 people, which is pretty good. The bill, unfortunately, didn't go anywhere in 2012 because the legislature decided that it was going to pare down the Department of Health that year. So it didn't go anywhere. But in 2013, it was reintroduced, same bill, and it made it unanimously off of the House floor, passed unanimously. But it only made it through one Senate committee of the four it had been referred to. The Representative Betty Reed from the Tampa Bay area has refiled the bill, and Senator Brannon from the Broward, Miami-Dade area, Fort Lauderdale, has filed it on the Senate floor already for 2014. So we're starting earlier this year, which is a good thing. We can work on building more co-sponsorship support for the bill and also start doing the education of the policymakers that will be necessary to make them see that it's important that they pass this year. If it doesn't pass, we're going to explore another opportunity for forming such a task force or advisory committee, potentially by having the Surgeon General call one instead of having it be legislatively authorized. Looking forward, off of the Women's Health Leadership Institute's regional organizing has begun. Participants in the first WHLI have started the Southwest CHW region network, and there were 3 of them who attended, and they went back home and held a meet and greet for about 20 CHWs in their area, and they asked people what they wanted to focus on next, and people said that they wanted some grant writing training. So they secured a grant writer facilitator trainer and had their grant writing workshop, which about 12 people participated in. Then they wrote a grant, then they received the grant, and then they formed the CHW Organizing and Training Academy to bring some of the modules from the Women's Health Leadership Institute back to the Tampa Bay and area, and they have conducted their first one, which had 17 people in it, and their second one is coming up, and it's got 18 people in it. We are continuing to look at a systems approach. In our this year's summit in September that just happened, we decided that the time was right to begin the dialogue between CHWs and nurse navigators. And so we brought 75 CHWs together with 50 nurse navigators to begin to develop a longitudinal continuum of care. And we thought that if people started talking to each other, that then when they went home, they would actually know what CHWs did, and they would think about them in a different way when somebody came with a referral. We also developed a regional directory of those from the summit registrants and sent it out to everybody who participated. And people really loved the summit. The evaluations were really high. We are increasing our data collection in Florida. There are a number of important universities in Florida, and they love to study CHWs. So we are collecting that data and then disseminating it to further prove the case. Our next big challenge is going to be on certification, and we have started those discussions. Florida is lucky in that we, maybe lucky, in that we have a nonprofit, non-governmental Florida Board of Certification that certifies other paraprofessionals, such as drug and alcohol counselors and a whole range of people. However, they are very exam-focused and fee-focused. They don't charge for their upload process because they expect to get the money back from the fee that people pay for the certificates. So we aren't 100% sure that we'll go with that route. We're looking closely at Massachusetts model instead. Should it come from within the Department of Health or what? But we have consensus that we want a grandparenting provision, and we want the path to be a voluntary process, not a mandatory one, and we want some recognition of experience portfolio instead of just an exam. And then the biggest challenge is going to be becoming a sustainable organization on its own when this CDC grant runs out in September 2015. And we want to become an independent organization, and so we're going to review our mission and structure. And so finally, please do visit our website. The DVD is there as well as on YouTube. Although it does talk a little bit about Florida, it's not specific to Florida per se, and there's a lot of really good, strong voices of CHWs. And overall, I, as the facilitator of the coalition at least, I'm committed to elevating and increasing the leadership of CHWs so that in September 2015, the coalition will continue to grow and thrive under their leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, Marian. So many important aspects that you mentioned, but particularly inciting the incredible leadership development and also the encouragement of having some of those challenging conversations between disciplines such as nurse navigators and CHWs. So thank you. We're now moving to our fourth presentation, and after the fourth presentation, we will have some time for questions. And the presentation is The Importance of an Organized CHW Voice in CHW Policymaking, an Oregon Case Study. Lizzie Fussell will be starting us off, and one thing that's not in her biography but is very important is that everything began here in Massachusetts. She's a Worcester native and with long roots of community activism. Lizzie Fussell is currently the coordinator of the Oregon Community Health Workers Association. Lizzie holds a BA in Environmental Studies and Economics from Lewis and Clark College and an MPH from Portland State University. Lizzie has over 12 years of experience in organizational development and community organizing, specifically around issues of immigrant rights, worker rights, and environmental justice.